shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day. Sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, oh glorious day that will be. What a day. The one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, oh glorious day.
Sister Kara.
Good afternoon, everybody, and Happy New Year to everyone. Let's open to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And I promise not to be long today. Hebrews chapter 7. And opening with verse 21. For those priests, so Hebrews 7:21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety or a guarantee of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of their own death. But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the word we've already heard. Thank you for your precious gift of who you are, all that you are to us, Lord. Everything you are, not just what you do for us, but what you provided for us in redemption. And I thank you, Lord. Help me today just for a few moments, and all of us, just as we look into your word, it's already blessed. And as we've heard today, just give us those ears. We want to have those ears to hear. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. So I want to speak today a little bit what the Lord has kind of put on my heart, being that we've just come out of Christmas and we've crossed over into a new year. If I had to put a title on this afternoon, it would be The Unchangeable Shepherd or The Unchangeable Priest, because really they're kind of both the same. The word shepherd, we have a pastor and he's a shepherd, but the word shepherd means pastor. But, you know, Brother Gene is a human being. He can't be with us all the time. He can't soothe all of our problems. He certainly can't fix all of our problems. But he is our pastor. He's our earthly pastor. But we have an unchangeable pastor, an unchangeable shepherd, that no matter what we go into this year, as we face a new year, face different things, and let's be honest, you know, everything changes, you know. You're no longer the younger couple, maybe with your kids growing up in the home. Like, I'm no longer the young little Kara Schnackenberg with my two brothers growing up in the home. Everything changes. We're constantly going through seasons. We're constantly going through changes. But what is always the same? It's our Savior that came into this world that we just celebrated Christmas. He literally was born to die. And I know we all know this, but he is that sacrificial lamb. We heard it brought out this morning in Revelation. It talks that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was always the plan for the whole world that Jesus would die. And I want to thank Emily and Sarah for singing Out of the Ivory Palaces. I think that almost needs to be a Christmas song, because it's just, and I really appreciated that you sang that, because, and I reflected on that, like, literally, he came from royalty. And we don't, to think about what he gave up to come here to be our Savior, that's what we celebrate every year. And yeah, it kind of gets clouded up over with things that they're special, the lights, the trees, all those things. Those things are special, but when you get underneath it all, it's like it's this little baby that came into the world specifically to die. And yes, if the Lord doesn't come, and we know he will come, but it's not a matter of when, not an if, it's a matter of when, right? But we will go by the way of the grave if the Lord doesn't come. But this baby was specifically born to die. And so I want to talk today about this high priest that we have, that he is always the same. And you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you read in Hebrews 13, it talks about, you know, not having any kind of spirit of covetousness, letting your heart and your mind, your conversation in this world, to be without any covetousness. Why? Because he is the all-filling shepherd. He is the one that knows the deepest parts of your soul. What you need, moment by moment, he knows it all. And I just appreciate him so much for that. And so today, I want to look at this just a little bit here. It says in the Hebrews 7 where we were, it's just so beautiful, this man, because he continues forever. And when we read through this, it's basically kind of pointing back in history how Israel had all, you know, priests throughout the years, but they were not sufficient just to pay for the sins of the people. But this man, it says, in verse 22, it says that they didn't continue on as priests because of the reason of their very own death. But this man, Jesus Christ, because he continues ever, forever, it says, but this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. And that's what I want to speak on a little bit today. And then in verse 26, which I think is so beautiful, listen to the characteristics of this priest that we have. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's not spotted of this world. There's no spot in him. It's just beautiful. And we get to be those people too. We get to be that as well. These are the characteristics of the new creation when we take him on. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But that was Jesus first and foremost. And made higher than the heavens. I love that. That is our Savior. Okay. Now, the evidence that he was going to come into this world and he was born to die. Turn over to Matthew 2. We're going to look at this for just a little bit. Matthew 2. I've just really been touched this Christmas with just the simplicity of the Lord. It's just been so beautiful. Okay, Matthew 2. Matthew 2:11, it says, and when they were come, and I have to have my glasses, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. I've been encouraged by this too. Now listen to this. When Christmas is long over, and the shepherds came, imagine, you guys, imagine, you know when you see a little baby and everybody's like, oh, everyone's gushing over a little baby. But have you ever seen anybody worship a baby? Probably have never seen that. And I wonder if any of us would be hesitant in any way had we seen just an ordinary couple in a little poor stable with a tiny infant in a place where they feed the animals. How quickly would we have worshipped? But the shepherds came and they worshipped him. And in Matthew 2:11 it says, they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, this is the wise men, right? So just think about it. Long after Christmas was over, long after Jesus was born, there still had to be this, you know, the three wise men. They had their gifts. They had the star. They were knowledgeable of what this meant. It meant something to them, and they knew that it meant something in the grand scheme of the world and the world stage and the history of the world. And so they were willing to come. And it says 2:11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they brought their treasures with them. And it was for him. It was for him. They presented up to him the gifts, gold. Speaking of this little tiny baby that truly, the scripture, Paul, our beloved Paul, says that God was in Christ reconciling him, reconciling the world unto himself. And yes, while I believe he was cast into outer darkness, I believe that with all of my heart, and he experienced that separation. I also believe with all of my heart that Apostle Paul had something truly when he said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I believe it with all of my heart that that brought some kind of comfort to our dear precious Savior when he was on the cross. I believe that he truly understood that as hard and as difficult as it was, like these gifts, gold, he was fully man, but he was fully God. So the deity of God in him. And then the frankincense, that is an expensive item that you would show for the King of Kings. And then the myrrh would show his sacrifice, the hurtful sacrifice that he would give up his life for the whole world, on behalf of the world. And so that myrrh speaks of him being the priest, the unchangeable priest that he would undoubtedly be for all of us and for anyone who would dare make him their personal priest. He can be your personal shepherd. So I love that. That myrrh points to the sacrifice of the priest, the holy priest that we would have. And then turn over in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And that's when he came. That really is what he brought. And I know sometimes we don't necessarily see that, but what I really want to see about this verse, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. So God sending his son was God's highest glory. The highest glory that he could have is, because even Jesus in John 17, he says, Father, I will that you, you know, show me that they may see the glory that I had with you from the beginning of the world. And here it says, glory to God in the highest. Him sending his son was God's, the peak, the pinnacle. Like in those, in the mountain peaks of prophecy, when in Genesis 3, you could basically say, what God saw from that mountaintop peak, from that viewpoint for the whole world, that there was going to be sin, right here, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, it's like he has sent his answer. He has sent his answer for the problem for all mankind. And on earth, if we will dare set our hands on it, on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. That's what he gives us. That's what he's provided for us. And then I was encouraged with the song Joy to the World. It says, make sure that I read the right one. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. That just means to the very bottom of the curse, the whole thing that he met, he came to make his blessings flow far as the curse was found. Far as the curse is found. I just think it's beautiful, and I apologize for my tears. It's just been so beautiful to me. Okay. And so, because he laid down his life, we have this beautiful shepherd. We have our own personal pastor. And while we appreciate Brother Gene and all that he does for us, just right, we all have to depart from here. We don't get to carry Brother Gene around in our own personal little pocket on our shirt. We all have to go away from here. Turn over to John chapter 10. You probably know where we're going now, but John chapter 10. Sorry, pardon me. Okay. John chapter 10, verse 7. It says here, well, and actually, let's go to verse 1. He says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up into some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So, make no mistake about it, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. We don't come by works. I just want everybody to know that the gentleman that came into this church today, this morning, he stayed for a little while. He caught Gary and I coming in, and he wanted to know what kind of church this was. And I said, hey, you should come on in here. I said, there's no religious ties, no nothing like that, no denomination. We just preach the Bible. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, you come in here. You're welcome. So then he came in, but he just kind of said, he's like, well, I've been looking for God, and I don't really know about a whole lot about him, but I just said, it just seems like the Holy Spirit prompted on my heart to say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. You must come by him. And this is exactly what this says here. So in John 10, verse 7, it says, when Jesus said unto them again, truly, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You are his little sheep. And I say that to myself. I am his little sheep. And Jesus is my door. He's my personal door. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's very plainly put. If by me he enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's your life with the Lord. He wants you to go in and out with him. What do I mean, in and out with him? He just wants you to explore him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know everything about him and for your personal life, your personal needs. You know, Mason's needs are different than Wanda's needs. Maybe, right? Everybody's got their own life. But Jesus is for you. He is your own personal shepherd, your own personal pastor. And it says, verse 9, it says, oh, I read that. And I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so if we are tempted to go any other way that is not the God way, not the Jesus way, any other way, any kind of way that Satan calls out to us to go some other way, that way is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those paths will steal from you. They will kill your life. They will destroy you. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And I love this. Twice in this little area, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And I just really believe when we're reading over something, and if Jesus says something or if the Bible says something two or three times, we really want to pay attention to it. So it says, I am the good shepherd, or Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for his sheep. What does the good shepherd do? He gives life. I can always count on my personal shepherd to give me life. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. And Ezekiel 34, you could read that some other time, but it talks about God. There's a prophecy about the sheep being scattered. And so, and Jesus is the one that's going to, he's the one that gathers everyone together. The hireling flees. So people that are not real genuine or sincere towards us or anything that is of demonic or Satan trying to tempt us in any other way, or people that are in our life that are just not right, they will flee because they're not really of the right fold. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, he says it again, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So that's the other reason why he's qualified to be your personal shepherd, your personal pastor, is because he has laid down his life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Now, this is such an encouragement. We are part of this sheepfold. The Jews, people of Israel, the Jews and the Gentiles, Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this field. What an encouragement to the very age that we live in, that he wants us to be a part of his fold. Them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. And we've been hearing that. Apostle Paul speaks about that in Ephesians 4, that one faith, the one Holy Spirit, the one God, the one body. He says here, we will be one fold and one shepherd. I love that. We have one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore does my Father love me. Why does he love me? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. So another important part of our personal pastor is that he, or by our personal shepherd, that is unchangeable. He's the one, he laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down of himself. All right. And then in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Something, this psalm, and you know your Bible cannot be exhausted. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that's in total control. He's my personal pastor. I shall not want. I shall not be in any kind of need. He knows the exact thing that I need. He knows what my life needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's provided all the nourishment that I need for my life. He leads me beside the still waters. So he knows how to make things still when they need to be. And he restores my soul. This even just means he revives that soul. He revives the will, the heart, the seat of your emotions. He restores my soul. What in this life has the ability to restore your soul? And I know you know the answer is nothing. Nothing apart from the Lord. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And notice, it's paths. And even though, you know, the Bible talks about a narrow way, there's lots of, you have a path, you have a life that you need to go on. Graham's will go back to school next week, right? Our little buddy Jacob, what is he in first grade? We have our, everybody has their own little path that they have to walk on, their own little path with the Lord. And so he's the one that leads us down those paths, paths of righteousness. And why is it for? It's for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley or any kind of valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that is the, that's the purpose too, when we point back to Hebrews 13. Why can we not have a life that's, you know, how is it possible for me to have a life that's not marked with all this covetousness, or, you know, give me this, or maybe I need to work to have this, and all these things that maybe I want to have. I don't want to live that life, or I don't need that life, because it says his presence is with me. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I really believe that we're always aware of the, of his presence. Thou art with me. And because of that, he satisfies us through and through. Your rod and your staff, they're a comfort to me. His rod and his staff, because he knows how to use it so exquisitely. He uses it in just the right measure. He knows exactly what you need to be corrected. He knows exactly what you need to be comforted. And that's exactly what he does. And he, again, he uses it in the right measure. And then, have any enemies in your life? Have any problems in your life? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, or the presence of my problems, or the presence of my perplexities. You provide a table. You have prepared for me what I need in this time. And my cup runs over. Surely goodness. Goodness can be another word for grace. Surely your grace, your goodness, this unmerited favor, this love that you have for me, and this mercy will follow me some of the days of my life. No, not some, all of them. All of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm going to leave you with that. And the other thing as far as thoughts on this is that Psalm 107, if you haven't read through there, it talks about how God satisfies the longing soul. All kinds of distresses, all kinds of different things that people go through and face. But that Psalm 107 talks about the Lord leading us in the right way. Thank you.